You know, and as Americans, we've, you know, everything's been founded on freedom, right? Liberty and justice for right. And we've been given the freedom of speech in the First Amendment, the freedom to assemble together, even the freedom of press, right? And even the freedom to petition our government. We can argue about that. We can petition our government. They might not do what we say, but at least we can complain for the most part without, you know, suffering too hard of persecution like some countries do when they speak out. So we live in a great nation, and it may be messed up in a lot of ways, but we're free. We're free. And we're free in Christ. We're free in Yeshua to choose what we want. We're free moral agents, right? So it's just been really neat in these last 3 weeks just seeing you guys come together and us growing in freedom. Now, there's one thing that I wanted to talk about. I had this big picture of what I wanted to do, and God said, I kept seeing, has anybody ever seen Princess Bride? Anybody like, you like Princess Bride? You remember that part where, what's his name? The Spaniard is a little inebriated, and he's laying there saying, I'm waiting for you, Physic, or whatever his name is. You said to go back to the beginning. Well, God keeps saying, go back to the beginning. I want you to go back to the beginning. And I'm like, okay, do you want me to go back to Genesis? And he's like, no, that's not what I'm talking about. So what I planned to do has been disrupted by what God told me to do. So if I seem a little out of place, it's because I'm really being led by what he wants me to do, okay? And I said it before, and all of us believe this, that this has nothing to do with a man here, whoever that is, whatever weekend, whoever's speaking, it's about him and us being led by him. It's one thing to play church and to follow the patterns of church, but I don't want anything to do with that. I really don't want anything to do with that anymore. I want to see God moving his people. But God has shown me there's some things that we need to look at. So first of all, I just want to read to you what freedom actually is. What is the definition of freedom? Freedom, the quality or state of being free, as the absence of necessity, coercion, or constraint in choice or action. Liberation from slavery or restraint, or from the power of another. You know, when I read that, the first thing that comes to me is the fact that we do have religious freedom in America. However, that is the very thing that is coming under attack more and more every day. And what you got to understand this, it's not that type of attack that's right in your face. You see some of the stuff that happens with churches and you hear all this junk. But what has happened is the false religions, Islam, Hinduism, these things are growing at a very fast pace. And the influence in the world, I think Islam is one of the fastest, it is the fastest growing religion right now. So it's kind of a deceptive thing. We sit here and we go, we got freedom. But what we don't understand is deception works very slowly and it's not very conspicuous. So what's happening is we are being overtaken by Islam, the religion of Islam. It's happening. So I asked myself when I read this, and I asked myself, okay, God, what are you saying? He's saying, what is wrong with what I have established? Why is that not taking over the world? So it makes you stop and think, doesn't it? It's like, what are we missing? What's going on? Why are we not changing the world? And I have to say, you know, moving from Sunday worship to observing Shabbat and understanding the meaning of the law and that it's not done away with, that we live by it, his commandments, and thinking when coming into that, I really did. I thought, you know what? I got the whole picture now. This is it. Now I'm going to go in the hospital and lay hands on the sick and they're going to be healed. You know what I mean? I really thought that way when I first came in to this awakening in my heart in the scripture. So I keep asking myself, you know, okay, well, why isn't this happening? Why are we fighting for ground that we've been given? We've been given the land, even in the spiritual realm. What is going on? So God, this morning, I got a bit like 4:30, because, you know, I was going to go over everything, and he's like, literally, I know what preachers feel like now, to let go of what you have to move into what he wants to do. So I'm going to attempt to tell you what he really put on my heart, and it really convicted me, and I'm going to try to hold it together. So what does the scripture say about freedom? 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is no condemnation. Say it again, no condemnation. There's conviction. How many of you love conviction? I love conviction. I do not like condemnation. For those who are in Yeshua, Jesus. Because through Yeshua, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. John 8:36. So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Who in here is free? Do you know that you're free? Do you know your inheritance? See, this is something that God is trying to tell us. Go back to the beginning. Is today is a foundational day. Do you understand that? This is a foundational day. And today we are building a foundation in the spiritual realm. And each one of you are a part of that foundation. Those who are in community, we are one. And we're learning to become one. We're learning to care for each other. We're learning to learn of each other and our needs. This is a very big day. So we need to make sure that our foundation is very sound and is right. You agree? Yeah. See, the freedom that comes from knowing Christ through genuine faith and abiding in his word, right? And obeying his commandments. That is genuine faith. It begins with genuine faith. Do you have genuine faith? Because I'm telling you, today is the day that we can act like, okay, we're going to look at ourselves and we're going to see what's inside and all that. But I'm petitioning you today to sit there and actually do this, because this is how important it is to this community for us to look inside and examine ourselves. Okay? Genuine faith is not the feel-good fixers that we have out here, you know, in the world, that you can reach out and grab and fix your feelings. That's not what genuine faith is. Genuine faith doesn't rely on that. Genuine faith, some things that you should be consistent and you should at least be growing in, I'm going to give you a few of those right now. I've listed down some things that if you are a believer, if you are following our King, then some of these things should either be in your life. If you've been following Yeshua for a long time, they definitely should be in your life. If you have just begun to follow Yeshua, these are some of the things that should start happening in your life. So there should be some, as a believer, some of these things should be consistent in your life, okay? Number one, do you enjoy having fellowship with Christ and his redeemed people? And I have scripture references for every one of these, so if you want them later, I'll give them to you. Would people say you walk in the light or walk in darkness? See, God's not concerned about how many make up his bride. He's concerned about the purity of his bride. Do you understand? So if you say you're his bride, think of these questions and answer them truthfully to yourself. Number three, do you admit and confess your sin? Number four, are you obedient to God's word? Number five, does your life indicate you love God rather than the world? Number six, is your life characterized by doing what is right? Number seven, do you seek to maintain a pure life? Thought, word, and deed. Do you see a decreasing pattern of sin in your life. This refers to not continuing in sin as a way of life, not total absence of the sin, but the fact that it's actually decreasing in your life. Do you demonstrate love for other Christians? Do you walk the walk versus talking the talk? I know when I read these things were really, there was some that were quite convicting to me. And I hope they convict you. My whole thing about what's going on here today is if it makes you uncomfortable, I'm okay with that. But truthfully, we don't want to leave here like we walked in. Do you understand what I'm saying? Hopefully something will touch our spirit and move us forward. Each of us, no condemnation, but that we'll examine ourselves and we'll be honest with ourselves on this foundational day. So, here are some of the things that I've mentioned should be in our lives. So in this process this morning, I'm going, okay, God, I see that. Why are we being overtaken? Why is that? Okay. Well, the only thing that keeps us from you and abiding in your power, in your presence, is sin. Right? Is that right? Okay. So, we all know this. We learned this very well when we came into our Hebrew roots of our faith. What is the definition of sin? It's the transgression of God's law, correct? 1 John 3:4 says, everyone committing sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. So in this passage, John is telling us that the transgression of God's law is sin, correct? Not obeying his commandments, his precepts. That is sin. Now, what's really neat is in the Old Testament, or in the New Testament, iniquities and unrighteousness is defined identically to the way sin is in the Old Testament. Okay? And what that means is, hear this, that means that one who has departed, who has fallen away, who no longer walks the straight and upright path, but has chosen the crooked path. Now, who is he talking to? Well, if you didn't know God and you didn't know his son, you wouldn't be departing from anything, would you? You would still be existing in the muck of sin, correct? Is everybody following me? So, who is he talking about? This is where I will argue the once saved, always saved. You might not like that, but I'm telling you, there it is. Okay? So what happens to us? If sin has entered into our lives, and we've got our way, we're looking at the straight and narrow path, and we're saying out of one side of our mouth that we're following you, God, yet on the other side of our mouth, we are becoming more worldly. Because that's the only thing that can stop us from influencing the world is becoming the world. Do you hear what I'm saying? So how does that happen? How does that happen to us? It happens. We get complacent. We get consumed with the issues that are all around us. Husbands, wives. You get consumed with your relationship with your spouse. You get consumed with your teenagers that are rebelling. You get consumed with your job and you're not making enough money to make ends meet. You get consumed with everything that is in front of your face that you see with your eyes that is temporary. Yet what happens in that is you remove your attention to what is eternal. We all have done this. We all have done this. And I can tell you, when you are in the world, or when the world is influencing you, you are not going to want to do the things of God. You know why? Because what comes back in that you were released from, the guilt starts to seep back in. Do you hear what I'm saying? So you're not going to be in the Word like you should be. And if you're not in the Word, you will die spiritually, period. You will die. 2 Timothy, even you know what I see a lot of times in this? In counseling, you'll see people that grip fear and anxiety as a coping mechanism. They'll grip fear and anxiety like they should be gripping the promises of God. And they'll use that as a defense. That's sin. That's sin. 2 Timothy, God tells us, he did not give us a spirit of fear, did he? What did he give us a spirit of? He gave us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind, correct? I can tell you this, in the counseling I've done and in my walk, what happens in this complacency, what happens is we conceive in our heads, in our minds, something that is ugly to God, and it becomes beautiful. That's what happens. Something that looks, we know is an abomination to God, but to the flesh it's really appealing. We look at that and it's ugly, but we make it pretty. Something that is dark, we conceive it as dark, we make it light. Do you understand? Something that's ugly, we make it beautiful. We hide our sin. And this is the most dangerous thing for a believer. I'm not saying that you are living a lifestyle, a sinful lifestyle. I'm not going there, but I'm telling you, each of us in this room, and like I said, this is so important for us. I'm sorry if this bothers you, but there's people in this room right now that you're living in ways you know you shouldn't be living, or you're doing things that you know you shouldn't be doing that are contrary to what God's Word says. You know you are. Did you know that the definition of self-righteousness is basically what you do is you take what you're good at, and that is more important to you than the things that you know you need to work on. Or you hang on to stuff and you go, okay, God, you know what? You can have that, but you can't have this. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? So what are we to do? What should we do? We should renounce. We should renounce. Proverbs 28:13 says this, whoever conceals their sins does not prosper. You want to know what's going on in your life? If I'm speaking to you, which I can tell you, I was speaking to me in things I didn't even realize. It takes the Spirit of God to show us. But what we have to do is we've got to be willing to lay barren before Him and let Him examine us, correct? Let Him show you your sin or your behaviors that are not in accordance to His Word. It says, 28:13, whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Renounce means to abandon it, to no longer recognize it, okay? So you actually do not want any part of it anymore. That's renouncing sin. Romans 6:18 says, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. You know, our King didn't come here just to justify us to His Father, which He did. He justified, justification, justified, justice, a legal thing that took place that has nothing to do with you, nothing at all, but He chose to justify you in your sin. He justified us. What a powerful thing He's done for us. But He not only did that, but He came to empower us. Now see, these are simple, foundational truths. Remember, go back to the beginning. The balance. Paul even says, hey, do not move on to the meat, but what? Do not forget the elementary teachings. Well, what is the first thing that we do, all of us who are knowledge-bound, when we come into the new awakening, we run to knowledge, and what do we tend to do as a movement is we forget the things of the Spirit. There's a lack of balance. God is looking for worshipers who will worship Him in spirit and truth. And when He says that, He didn't say a little more of this one or that. It meant a balance. Do you understand what I'm saying? God wants a balance in that. So what's the key? I can tell you this. The condemnation that we talked about earlier is the enemy's greatest tool. If you are in the midst of something you know you shouldn't be in, if you're either running your business or you're whatever it is that God already knows, okay? Whatever it is, the condemnation of the enemy is to say to you, you have fallen, you are worthless. You have fallen and you are worthless. You have fallen again, you are worthless. You have fallen three times at the same thing. How could you do that? You are worthless. I want to tell you this. Every one of us should get our PhD in one thing. Repentance. If we would get our PhD in repentance, we would live empowered Christian lives. Amen. Empowered Christian lives. We would be the influence, and we would start overtaking this world. If we understand repentance, is that key to everything in your walk? Repentance is this. Repentance is agreeing with what God sees in you and agreeing with Him. Self-righteousness is holding on and not letting Him have the things that He sees. But true repentance, the beginning of true repentance, is going, I see what you see in me, and I don't like it as you don't like it. That is the beginning of true repentance. And another thing is there's a godly grief and there's a worldly grief, okay? You know, most people, a lot of people, when they go, yeah, I know I shouldn't have done that. So I'm sad I got caught. You know what I'm saying? I'm sad I got caught. Oh, yeah, man, I shouldn't have done it, but oh well, I did that. That's different than a godly grief. I want to read this to you. 2 Corinthians 7, 8 through 11. For even I made you grieve with my letter. I do not regret it, though I did regret it. For I see that the letter grieved you, though only for a while. Only for a while. As it is, I rejoice, not because you were grieved, but because you were grieved into repenting. So it's just for a short while. So what does repentance bring back? What does it restore? The joy in the Lord. It's temporary. Okay, hear this. But because you were grieved into repenting, for you felt a godly grief, so that you suffered no loss through us. It's saying you're so sorry that you have broken God's heart, His commandments. So you are going to turn your back on. This is where we mess up a lot of times. This is where we mess up. If it's not true repentance, there's a term in the military called about face. You know this, Terry. It's called about face. You know, you're going in one direction, stop, you turn, and you march in the opposite direction. Where we mess up and where Christians mess up, when true repentance isn't in their heart, is when we walk in down this path away from God and we see our sin and we recognize our sin and conviction comes to us, tells us that we are in sin. The problem is, there's where we mess up at times is we walk like this. Ooh, wait a minute. And then you go back. And then you partake again. Then the guilt sets in. God, can you help me here, please? And you go back. What does He say about face? Turn your back. There is no sin anymore. When you repent, there's true repentance. There is no sin. You're done. And you turn your face to the King and you teshuvah. You return. Romans 12:2, renew your mind. What does that mean? It means go back to the beginning. It means go back to when your mind was new, when it wasn't tainted with religion, and everything else that taints our mind and messes our walk up. Do you hear what I'm saying? So this is very promising. This is very promising for you. You are not condemned. You are a child of the living God. And the price that was paid for us was not a cheap price. Do you hear that? You want to call it Sunday church? Call it what you want. But in our Saturday church, this is foundational. We've got to get this right. We can't forget it. We can't forget it, and we have to teach it. We have to teach this. The foundation of our faith started with salvation through repentance, right? This church has to start the same. It has to start the same. And laying this foundation as we are, and we say out of our mouth, this is not about any of us. If it's not about any of us, you will have no problem looking inside your box and giving it to Him. Because He knows it's there anyway. He knows it's there anyway. And people, think of Achan. Think of the sin of Achan. What did God say? What did He say? He didn't say Achan's got that thing under his tent, that silver. He said, Israel has sinned against me. His sin was on the nation. Do you realize that is how important you coming into community and carrying sin is to this congregation? Is that serious? And I'm telling you right now, I don't need you to come up to me and confess anything to me. I am a mere man. I am your pastor. But as long as you are going to our King, who we all serve and are under, then do that. You don't need to, you do it the way you need to do it. But we got to do it, guys. We got to do this. I do like coming down for prayer. You know why? It shows humility. It shows, you know what, I'm owning what's wrong in me, or I need prayer. Humility is a great thing. But this is that important. And I'm not going to back down on it, because it's that important for all of us. Now, this is not a condemnation thing. This is a great opportunity. You know, now we are just, isn't it just great how right now we are entering the month of Elul? Elul. We're entering the month, 6 months on the Hebrew calendar, biblical calendar. And it's 40 days as we prepare to, as it leads us, a time of repentance, self-reflection, to lead firstly the 30 days into the 10 days of all, and then Yom Kippur, the high holy days, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So this time, it's really neat, and I love it. You say it's a tradition of man, or it's a Jewish tradition. Well, you know what? All traditions aren't bad. Now, you'd be Jewish, Christian, or whatever you want to call it. I mean, the Pharisees said to Jesus' disciples, why do your disciples not wash their hands and follow the traditions of the elders? It's because, you know where they messed up? They were trying to make the traditions of the elders Torah. They were trying to make it the law. That's where you mess up. So if you want to call it a Jewish tradition or whatever, I love it. Because you know why? Even in the church, you know what we do? You're saved now. If you ever sin, just repent. Good to go. You know, God is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins. Right? But what happens with that, without education, is you get in this vicious cycle. It starts a cycle, and it's called cheap grace. I sinned, I did it again, God forgive me. I sinned again, God forgive me. I sinned again, God forgive me. And you just get in this cycle, and then you know what? You're just seared. Your conscience is seared to sin. That's not what God intended at all. What I like about this season of Elul is it actually sets a time to make you go, whoa, this is a time to examine myself. This is a time I need to look within my heart and see what's really there. Now, if you're thinking, Well, I'll just do what I want to all year and then enter the month of Elul and then I'll make it all right. You're in the wrong building. It's that big building over there, down the street. You're in the wrong building. You got heart issues. You need to examine your heart. The heart is you do not want to sin. You do not want to hurt God. You do not want to sin against Him or break His commandments. So this is a wonderful time to actually come together when you're with your family. It can be a great month of examining yourself as we come into the High Holy Days. So I love this time of year. I really do. It means a lot to me. Ezekiel 18:21-23. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he has committed and keep all my statutes and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. All his transgressions that he has committed, that shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he has done, repent, that is, he shall live. He shall live. You know what? You just know this. You can't get past your past if you don't let him have control of your now. Right now. You just have to just let him have the now. And he'll take care of the past. So as we're here today, I just think the fact, you know, like I said, this is that important that we do self-examination. Look into our hearts. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Amen. I am a believer who tries not to sin, but will sin. I am not a sinner practicing sin. So if you practice sin and you enjoy it, we need to talk. Like I said, I didn't want this message. If it makes you uncomfortable, I'm glad, to be honest with you. I really am. But you know what it gives me? Freedom. I'm free. I am free. And it's because of this I am free. It's because of conviction. And because God, in His Word, this morning, and whenever He's done it, gets in my face and He corrects me. And I like correction. It's good for us. Do you want to come? Psalms 32:1-5. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom Yahweh imputes not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. I acknowledged my sin unto you, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto Yahweh, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. So is, I guess the band's going to play, or are you guys going to play? Just Jim? During this time, I just want you to imagine the things that are under your tent. Because what's under your tent in the spiritual realm affects all of us. It's a good thing to have the opportunity to repent. Amen? It's not a bad thing. So right where you're sitting right now, do that. Just examine your heart, examine your life. And things that you know that shouldn't be there. You can come down and pray if you want to, or you can sit where you're at. I don't think God cares about that. But just take a time of prayer and examine your heart.
every breath, my life, my soul. And I surrender, I surrender all. Lord, I surrender. Everything and nothing less, my best, Lord, my all. 'Cause you deserve my every breath, my life, God, and my song.
Father, I just ask that you create a pure heart in each of us. Father, if we sin against you, may we not hide our sin from you. You've given us a way. Father, just may it be that each of us use the way you have given us. Father, I pray blessings on each home that's here and represented. Father, we desire to be a community, to be in unity together. Teach us to love each other as your commandment says to do. And Father, I pray that you just, every spark of desire to know you that's in this room, Father, I pray that you fan it with wisdom. And Father, those that have confessed and come to you with their sin, Father, I pray that you restore them to the place that you would have them operate for your kingdom. You have a plan for each one of us. It's a plan to prosper us. And for us to fully walk in our gifting is the prospering I know that you're talking about. Pray, Father, that you bless this Shabbat, the rest of the Shabbat. We thank you for your Shabbat. And it's such a joyous thing to come together as believers in you. And may you be glorified in everything that we say and do this day. And may the joy of the Lord be in this place as we fellowship. And it's in your Son's wonderful name that we pray. And his people said, amen. Amen. God bless you.